Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It is the third day of December. I'm Brian. My greetings to you from snowy, snow-capped Colorado, where the air is clear and there are feet of snow up in the mountains, and Christ is present. And you'd think that he would be here for the glory of it all. You can just, I mean, he's present wherever we are, but Jesus really likes Colorado. And I'll tell you why. Because I really like Colorado, and Jesus lives in my heart, and so he must really like Colorado too. I'm not sure exactly if that works out theologically. So that might not actually be true. But anyway, I like it here a lot. And it's good to be with you today. I've been posting pictures to Flickr. If you want to check in on the group of valiant men who are out here for Wild at Heart Advanced. Anyway, we are reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible this week. And we're in the book of Daniel. So today, chapter 11, verses 2 through 35. Now I tell you the truth. Three more kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth will be far richer than the others. By the power he gains through his riches, he will stir up everyone against the kingdom of Greece. Then a warrior king will arise. He will rule a vast realm and do whatever he wants. But as soon as he is established, his kingdom will be broken up and divided to the four winds of heaven, but not to his descendants. It will not be the same kingdom that he ruled, because his kingdom will be uprooted and will go to others besides them. The king of the south will grow powerful, but one of his commanders will grow more powerful and will rule a kingdom greater than his. After some years, they will form an alliance, and the daughter of the king of the south will go to the king of the north to seal the agreement. She will not retain power, and his strength will not endure. She will be given up, together with her entourage, her father, and the one who supported her during those times. In the place of the king of the south, one from her family will rise up, come against the army, and enter the fortress of the king of the north. He will take action against them and triumph. He will take even their gods captive to Egypt, with their metal images and their precious articles of silver and gold. For some years he will stay away from the king of the north, who will enter the kingdom of the king of the south, and then return to his own land. His sons will mobilize for war and assemble a large number of armed forces. They will advance, sweeping through like a flood, and will again wage war as far as his fortress. Infuriated, the king of the south will march out to fight with the king of the north, who will raise a great multitude, but the multitude will be handed over to his enemy. When the multitude is carried off, he will become arrogant and cause tens of thousands to fall, but he will not triumph. The king of the north will again raise a multitude larger than the first. After some years, he will advance with a great army and many supplies. In those times, many will rise up against the king of the south. Violent ones among your own people will assert themselves to fulfill a vision, but they will fail. Then the king of the north will come, build up an assault ramp, and capture a well-fortified city. The forces of the south will not stand. Even their select troops will not be able to resist. The king of the north who comes against him will do whatever he wants, and no one can oppose him. He will establish himself in the beautiful land with total destruction in his hand. He will resolve to come with the force of his whole kingdom and will reach an agreement with him. He will give him a daughter in marriage to destroy it, but she will not stand with him or support him. Then he will turn his attention to the coast and islands and capture many. But a commander will put an end to his taunting. Instead, he will turn his taunts against him. He will turn his attention back to the fortresses of his own land, but he will stumble, fall, and be no more. In his place, one will arise who will send out a tax collector for the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he will be shattered, though not in anger or in battle. In his place, a despised person will rise. Royal honors will not be given to him, but he will come during a time of peace and seize the kingdom by intrigue. A flood of forces will be swept away before him. They will be shattered as well as the covenant prince. After an alliance is made with him, he will act deceitfully. He will rise to power with a small nation during a time of peace. He will come into the richest parts of the province and do what his fathers and predecessors never did. He will lavish plunder, loot, and wealth on his followers, and he will make plans against fortified cities, but only for a time. With a large army, he will stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south. The king of the south will prepare for battle with an extremely large and powerful army, but he will not succeed because plots will be made against him. Those who eat his provisions will destroy him. His army will be swept away and many will fall slain. The two kings whose hearts are bent on evil will speak lies at the same table, but to no avail, for still the end will come at the appointed time. The king of the north will return to his land with great wealth, but his heart will be set against the Holy Covenant. He will take action, then return to his own land. At the appointed time, he will come again to the south, but his time will not be like the first. Ships of Kittim will come against him, and being intimidated, he will withdraw. Then he will rage against the Holy Covenant and take action. On his return, he will favor those who abandon the Holy Covenant. His forces will rise up and desecrate the temple fortress. They will abolish the daily sacrifice and set up the abomination of desolation. With flattery, he will corrupt those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will be strong and take action. Those who are wise among the people will give understanding to many, yet they will die by sword and flame and be captured and plundered for a time. When defeated, they will be helped by some, but many others will join themselves insincerely. Some of the wise will fall so that they may be refined, purified, and cleansed until the time of the end, for it will still come at the appointed time. First John 3:7-24. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, but shuts off his compassion from him, how can God's love reside in him? Little children, we must not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth. That is how we will know we are of the truth and will convince our hearts in his presence. Because if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and can receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. Now this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he has given us. Psalm 122, 1 through 9. A prayer for Jerusalem. A Davidic song of ascents. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city should be, solidly joined together, where the tribes of the Lord go up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. This is an ordinance for Israel. There, thrones for judgment are placed, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May there be peace within your walls, prosperity within your fortress. Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, "Peace be with you." Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Proverbs 29:1. One who becomes stiff-necked after many reprimands will be broken suddenly and without a remedy. You've probably noticed this theme in the letter, the first letter of John, the first epistle, right? First John, that kind of lays out this fundamental truth. If we are the children of God, then we will act as children of God should act, right? If you are his, you will keep his commands. The one who keeps his commands remains in him. And we talked a little bit about this the other day. But I just wanted to point out that this is a central theme running here. And it's one of these, like I said the other day, kind of aha moments where it's very simple, but it affects everything about who we are. The entire posture of our heart is framed by this truth. If we belong to Christ, then we should be acting like Christ acts. We should be obeying Christ's commands. Where that gets complicated is how we like to pick and choose and soundbite things. And the things that we don't want to do, the things that are more difficult and weighty, the hard parts, we like to find reasons why that isn't something we have to do. And yet Jesus gives the all-encompassing command to take up our cross and follow him. In other words, there's nothing that we wouldn't follow him in, including the cross. Certainly, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, as he says. But that is a posture of the heart. That is an understanding very clearly that we are not tethered to this earth. What happens to our physical bodies is not the end of us by any stretch, not even close. We have a mere, what? Let's call it 100. Let's round it just period. We have 100 years... in a physical body on the planet Earth with which to work. The Bible says that this is nothing more than vapor, right? So a wisp of smoke, there and then gone. That is our time in this body, and yet we feel as if this is all there is. And so we live as if this is all there is, and we try to find ways to get whatever looks like life that we can, whatever kind of comfort we can arrange for ourselves, without the long view at all. The view that this wisp of smoke, that's all there is in this body. But there is an eternity, a never-ending eternity that we will participate in one way or another. Separated for eternity from God, or united for eternity with God. And the posture of our heart now dictates the posture of our heart later. For we are in eternity. Now we have begun to never end. I know that's a bit heady, but that's the reality. We have been born and we have begun eternal life. We have begun to never end. So if we are Christ's, then Christ is our model in how to live on this earth. And there's a reason for it. We are here to get the work of Christ done. He has given us a great commission. We are the ambassadors for this kingdom. Right, so we are aliens and foreigners because we are of the kingdom of heaven. And although this place was created by God, it was handed over. And we are here to reestablish the kingdom. We are here to finish the work modeled for us and begun by Christ. So if we are Christ's, we must keep his commands. And that is our desire, Father. That's our desire. Some days we're very, very passionate about it. Other days we forget it altogether. We're that way sometimes. And we often have to ask your forgiveness for our shortcomings, for they are many. But you have no shortcomings, and you offer us your life. You make up the difference for what we have deficits in. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Lead us into all truth. Make up the deficits. Make up the shortcomings. Our response is to yield to you. Our response is to say yes to your leadership. And you make up the difference. So come, Lord, and lead us so that we might be your children, so that we might live as you lived, so that we might keep your commands. We pray this in the blessed name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website, as you know. So here we are in Colorado. This is Friday, and this is usually the day of heavy lifting. The things that Christ begins to do in our hearts, you know, when we pray for, you know, when we say these prayers that nothing is off limits to you, Lord. Well, that is the posture of heart that seems to show itself on the Friday of these events, and we're kind of faced with some, well, I guess I'd call it heavy lifting emotionally. We really have to think about some things, and there's nowhere to run, right? There's no distraction to go to. We have to face some things alone with God, which is very important, very healing, very hard. And so I thank you for your continued prayers over the camps. I'm snapping pictures, and uploading them to Flickr so that you can be involved in what's going on here in Colorado. And I thank you for your continued intercession over the camp. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible in this this last month of the year, my deepest heartfelt gratitude to you. There is a link on the website that allows for this, or if you'd rather, the mailing address for the Daily Audio Bible is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, the Daily Audio Bible is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation recognized by the federal government, so we will be certain to send you a receipt for your charitable contributions. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. Let's see, I told you yesterday, Daily Audio Bible Family Christmas is up. I probably won't blast that home, I probably won't mention it anymore after this, but there's a link right on the homepage of the website that'll take you into a page about the Family Christmas. And it'll give you access to all of the other Family Christmases from years gone by if you're interested. I get a lot of emails, and we started doing this last year, we get a lot of emails from people going, man, what about the other years? And so we make them available every Christmas for you to enjoy. And so that's where you will find them. I guess that's it for today. I know there's some other things that I need to discuss, but I can't remember what they are because I'm not back in the studio in Nashville where I have all of my nice little notes and stuff all over the place. So I don't think there's anything that can't wait, though. I'm going to go play in the snow at some point today, hopefully, so maybe I could take some pictures of that. I don't know if I'll make a snow angel or anything like that, but there's plenty of snow to play in, and I love it. I know those of you who live in the north are like, are you out of your mind? I don't even think I'm going to listen to the Daily Audio Bible anymore. You keep liking snow like that. But I do. I live in the south. We don't get the snow. We get the gray and the brown. And so the snow is a treat. So I'm going to go play in it. I love you all. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Brian and Jill and Max and China. Max, I hope your arm is coming along well. And hi, DAB family. It's been on my heart to call for quite a while now, and I've just not been able to bring myself to it. I thank the Lord that this morning, the prayer request of the brother who called in after 10 years of marriage, his prayer request was on November 22nd. Brother, I would recommend to you Gary Smalley's book, The 10 Love Languages, excuse me, 5 Love Languages. Chances are you're telling your wife how much you love her, but she's not hearing it because you're not speaking in her love language. I had to learn that lesson myself. The book is excellent. If you can talk to her in the way she needs love, which may not be in the way that you need love, and talk to her in a way that she hears, it would probably bode well for both of you. And if she can speak love and respect in the way that you need to hear it, I'm sure it would bring more satisfaction in your life. Family, the main reason why I'm calling is because I'm at risk of losing my home, and I need the Lord's intervention, and I need your effective and fervent prayers, as Brian spoke about today, to stand on my behalf. I am a disabled vet. Right now, I'm unemployed. I'm also seeking Social Security benefits. They've been denied initially, as is typical. So me and my lawyer, we are going through the appeal, and I've been having difficulty in maintaining my jobs, so I need the Lord's help. I need your help in requesting this of the Lord. Right now, I'm only able to work a specified number of hours under this appeal and earn a specified amount of money. and I'm just finding difficulty finding a job that meets those parameters. Please pray for me that I might keep my home and that I might be able to find the income that I need to be able to take care of all of my needs. This year is going to probably be one of the least merry Christmases that I'll probably have, in that I won't be able to show my appreciation for people that I love in my family, most of all my son. I won't be able to share with him the gifts that I'm sure he would appreciate. He's old enough to where he understands what's going on with his dad, but I'd still like to be able to give him some of the things that he would like. So if you would pray for me that I might be able to find a way to do that, I would be most grateful. And family, know that as you pray and call in for your prayer request, I'm right there as a prayer warrior praying for you. I love you all. Thank you.
Hi, family. How you doing? This is John calling again. I just wanted to call and thank you all for the many notes and messages of encouragement. They really have humbled me tremendously and give me some strength to keep on fighting. And it's nothing like that, when you've been alone all your life, really. And you had drilled into your parents that you were worthless, and so you just drove harder and harder and harder to prove something. Wrong way. Doesn't work. And finally break through, even thick skulls like mine. But I just want to thank you all for your prayers, and I want you to know I pray for you. And listen to Mark. He called in on the 17th of November, with a similar story, the world is crashing down around him. All I can say is that the lady who came on after you addressed me, she was also addressing you. And you got to keep on fighting, man. And it's tough. I mean, it's like being and seeing a ton of Rocky movies, but they don't show you the last round. And it's hard, but there is a way forward. And sometimes they say things happen for a reason. I don't believe that. I never believe that. But I believed you made your own destiny, and that's wrong too, I guess. Sometimes, you just got to see the things that are around you and understand that they're meant for you. And that's a real breakthrough for me. And I appreciate everyone for helping me get there. Long way to go, guys. But I'll let you know I didn't check out. Still here. And still praying for you. Anyway, you have all have a wonderful holidays. And hopefully I'll be talking to you soon with a praise report and some more positive stuff for everyone. Thank you all. God bless you. Bye.